Disturbing Things,
the podcast.
I'm Macy.
And I'm Naomi.
And we're two professional counselors, and boy, are we here with you tonight.
Yeah, we talk about disturbing things, and tonight we can distract you from the disturbing things out there with other disturbing things. Maybe be a beacon of light in the darkness. So like a dark light, though, like a black light, I guess you'd say.
Like a dark black light?
Yeah, we'll be a dark black light in the darkness for you.
Yeah, I like
we're
that.
Here for you. I feel like...
Yeah, like solidarity.
Solidarity and...
I'll quarantine in your house if we need to.
Like, we'll be a distraction from all that shit for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Think about other disturbing things. Take your mind off it.
Sort of.
Sort of.
Yes.
God damn. I have to admit, I am like starting to panic a little bit because I don't have any toilet paper. I know I'd rather have food and wine, but my rolls are getting low.
How many do you have?
I need to do a count. I think I'm down to like 7 rolls in the whole house.
I have like 5 rolls total. I'm not panicking. They're mega rolls.
There's so many people that live in this house though.
Yeah, that's true.
When the boys... I guess I shouldn't say, but there's a lot of toilet paper that goes down my toilet
but
certain times of the day.
I had a correction given to me by men saying, yes, but women use it when they pee as well as when they poop.
Yeah.
And guys tend to only use it when they poop.
Yeah, I do go through a lot of toilet paper.
Yeah, so it's pretty...
I'm going to start just pooping at work.
It's pretty bad. I went to Walmart this weekend.
Was that a mistake?
I mean, it was actually the emptiest it's ever been in there. Probably the cleanest as well, just because there's like nobody there. And because I needed some food supplies. I wasn't prepared.
Food supplies.
Food supplies.
Sustenance.
Like frozen.
I went to Trader Joe's yesterday and I was like blown away by nothing being in the freezer aisle at all. Nothing.
Yeah,
there was like 3 boxes of fish sticks, all sad looking. And I don't even like fish sticks, but I felt pressured into buying them. Like other people's panicking is making me panic.
I saw a man in Walgreens on Friday carrying this full armloads full of baby wipes, like full armload. And the lady behind the counter goes, yep, now we're wiped out of baby wipes.
Wiped out of baby wipes. I saw a lady leaving the cash and carry here, which is like restaurant food supply, and on Friday, and she had 3 feet high of freaking hot dogs and hot dog buns. I'm like, really? That's what you're going to roll out the end of times eating? Like fucking hot dogs?
I got some really good deal on crab, though. So I got to have like some nice crab dinner, which was a not so bad way to roll it out.
So I tend to get a little bit panicky myself.
Oh, do you?
In these situations. Yes.
Coming from the one who had the least amount of panic originally.
Well, I'm going facts.
Yes. And
at that time, there were literally 14 cases in the entire U.S.
And to be fair, you were more advocating against people being discriminatory, which is still a thing not to do.
It's still a thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But my facts that I'm going on right now is that people are buying all the goddamn food.
And well, it's so the people panicking that's going to cause a real problem.
Yeah, so that makes me panicky. I'm like, shit, do I have enough? Are they going to run out? Why is the only flavor of cup of noodles shrimp? What is happening?
You know, I don't eat shrimp.
And it puts me in a little tailspin, and I have to just check myself before I wreck myself. So I made myself promise that I would only buy things that I would normally eat.
Yes.
Even though all like the doomsday prepper guides I was reading at midnight said to get shit like
you and YouTube
spam and powdered milk. I was like, no, I will not get spam milk.
Like, come fall, you're gonna have a shelf of shit you didn't want to eat then.
Well,
that's
what I mean. Yeah, I don't. I want to have stuff that I would normally eat anyway, and
or else life just isn't worth living. So
I mean, I don't think I'm at that point where I need to start eating powdered milk. Though I will say, I felt a whole hell of a lot better once I got my 50-pound bag of rice.
I still have my 50-pound bag of rice from 2 years ago and beans, so I'm not that worried.
I will eat the rice. Like, we eat rice in this house, like, almost every day. And I was feeling a little nervous about that because, honestly, we could live on that rice. Like, you know, We're good. We got 50 pounds of bag of rice. I got a bunch of cheap wine from Trader Joe's, and I'm happy now. I'm fine. I'm confident.
Has it been weird at work for you? It's been very weird for me.
Well, it's a dynamic situation.
It's dynamic, yes.
As our leader, it's an ever-evolving situation, and
we're handling it about it as well as our president.
You know, we're leaders. Well, I thought his advice yesterday that everybody needs to just relax. You know,
yeah,
true. But as leaders in our organizations, I think my job is to just not add to the stress and confusion and anxiety that everybody's having. So sometimes I have to tuck my own away a little bit, though I did have a moment today at work where I did lie face down on the carpet in distress. And then I realized this is the most goddamn unsanitary place I could possibly be. And then I got up and washed my hands and face.
Good idea.
With a Clorox wipe.
Well done. Well done. Yeah. That's one thing that I thought was funny too, is that like all the hand sanitizer is gone, but none of the hand soap was. Like, you can wash your hands. You don't just have to use hand sanitizer.
That just shows you how irrational it is.
Oh, it's super. It'd be like the surface counter wipes are gone, but then the like tile antibacterial cleaner is still there, like all the sprays. It's like, in theory, if you had to disinfect something, anything will work.
I mean, I can live without toilet paper. If I have a shower, I'll be fine.
They're right next to each other. It's really convenient.
They are right next to each other. But when I, you go to...
I need to shower more often anyways.
Those empty aisles, though, it makes you feel a little stressed because it's unusual. It's not something you normally see.
It's very Chernobyl-esque. Like, this is the feeling I feel I would experience if I was there. But it's here in Spokane. And, like, the roads, far less people. I can, like, make turns without having to make people mad.
It's strange.
Yeah. Well, so it's been an adventure.
Godspeed, everybody. And if we can be a comfort in these dark times, then we're doing something right.
I feel bad for parents that are now stuck with their children for, until the end of April.
Yeah.
At least.
I think little secret, contraband co-ops are going to pop up. Just, people need to connect. And so right now in our area, it's gatherings of 10 or more you can't do, but like in San Francisco, they just did shelter in place. But yesterday they had gatherings of 5 or more. So I'm like, what if your family has more than 5 people? Like, I guess that's a real quick way to find out if your mom's favorite or not.
Get out.
Voted off the island.
I was actually called my dad on the way here and just said, how's your quarantine going? And he's like, it feels like every other day. He's pretty antisocial, so it works out.
I was pretty bored after like half of Saturday because I usually go out, I'll take advantage of the weekends. I'll go to yoga class in the morning or go to the gym, and like both of those are out. So I was feeling a little stir crazy. As soon as it gets a little warmer, I'll be happier because we can at least like do outside stuff away from people.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It'd be nice.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, cool. And we're being rebellious by meeting together anyways and still doing the podcast. So
I know. I considered, should we wear masks?
I don't. It's.
I didn't know how it would sound with the mics though. Would it be muffled if we wore masks?
Probably not enough to not justify getting each other sick. So.
Okay. Well, oops. I mean, we are about 4 feet away from each other. We're not like the recommended 6, but it's only 2 of us. I don't know. We'll take it day by day, folks.
It's okay.
I do have some masks. So if needed, we can test that out.
So the masks only work for about 5 minutes. So
oops. Oh, perfect.
Wouldn't work anyways.
Okay. Well, we're good.
I've kind of figured you have what I have by now.
I know. We'll just go down together.
10 years. It's bound to happen. Yeah.
Who goes first tonight?
Do you?
Oh my God, me. Okay. So I really, over the weekend, wanted to craft a disturbometer that we could like put on the wall, and it would be like 1 to 10 with like a wheel. Ooh, and we could dial it in. Yeah.
But why don't I see that in front of me?
Because I didn't have the right colored cardstock and I didn't.
And Walmart sold out.
Well, I was like really trying to not go out unless I needed to. And I figured a trip to the craft store wasn't really essential. But I am going to get this done, even if it ends up being a weird color. So the reason I said that, the reason I prefaced my topic with that, is that mine is not very disturbing, but I think that's fine. I didn't feel like being really deathy.
What's your rating
tonight?
It's okay. I'll even it out for us.
I'd say a 3.
3?
Yeah, 2 to 3.
I'd say mine's like 7 range.
But it is something I was interested in, and I was, you know, interested in the research. So this is not a Billy Whack Monster situation.
The reference for the 0.5.
Yeah, I'm giving it a 1. Jeez, don't
downrate
it. So my question to you is, have you ever used a Ouija board?
I haven't, but I've wanted to.
You've never in your life? How is that possible?
I don't know. Played outside.
Didn't you go to slumber parties?
I wasn't invited.
You never went to slumber parties?
Maybe a couple.
Oh my God, Macy, I'm so sorry.
I don't remember if I got sent home.
So, yeah, I mean, it was kind of like a slumber party thing when I was growing up. Somebody would break out the Ouija board.
Did you have your own or was it somebody
No,
else's?
I didn't have my own.
Yeah, maybe I just didn't know people who had Ouija boards.
We were poor, so I didn't have things like that.
Oh, you gotcha.
I had like a ball.
Yeah, I played outside.
I climbed fences and trees and stuff in mid forts.
Oh, my dad said we didn't believe in witchcraft. Sorry.
Ooh, commentary already. So I have used one, and I always felt like people were moving it on purpose.
Oh, because everyone puts their hands on it, right?
Yeah, but you're supposed to like have a light touch, and then it's supposed to just be guided by the spirit world.
I would totally
world.
Be the person moving it.
I always felt like, because sometimes I'd feel, because I wouldn't be trying at least to move it, and I always felt like there was like hard shoves that I could
feel.
Be
me on the other side.
And I was like, oh, this is so fake. So some people, though, really believe that's a way to communicate with those who have passed over to the other side.
You might share this, but is there any, like, saying science behind it may sound odd, but, like, what is the rationale for why a Ouija board works?
Oh, my God, that's my summary and conclusion. So stay posted, Macy.
Okay.
Good question. I didn't want to reveal the secrets right away. So some people believe that, and then so it would be like helpful to communicate with people, maybe friends or family that have passed, or some people try to communicate with like famous people and get some intel about what's going on in the future.
Why does it matter if you're famous or not?
I don't know.
What do you mean in the future? You mean when you die?
No, like you can ask, you know, like Elvis, like, hey, what's going to happen next year?
Why would dead Elvis know what's going to happen in the year that he's dead?
I think
for like, again,
the quote unquote logic behind that is there's the spirit world is like a whole bunch of people that can see the past, present and future and can give helpful advice. Like, I don't know, stock tips or NCAA bracket stock results. Tips. Ooh, too soon. Probably
too
bring up
soon.
That.
Gosh. Everything's being taken away right now. Okay.
I know. Stripped away. And then, but some people believe it is dangerous to use a Ouija board because it is opening up a portal to hell, a doorway to the demonic world, like the crack we had in the closet of our private practice office.
Which legit happened on a Lost cast, by the way. So something creepy happened to make that whole podcast disappear. But yep. What happened, we're interviewing somebody and we hear this water pouring and we...
Pouring like a flood.
And we get up and we go and we look in the closet and there's just a split, a crack across the ceiling with water pouring in.
It was really crazy.
Yeah. And then the podcast disappeared that night.
Yep.
Definitely not my fault.
It was a portal to hell, I'm convinced. So, you know, some people don't really think Ouija boards are anything. So those are kind of the three schools of thought. Useful, helpful, dangerous, and evil, or nothing of consequence. Where do you think you lie on those three?
I feel like I honestly believe nothing of consequence, but I really wish there's more.
You want to believe. I know. I'm like,
that's why I'm like, what's the logic behind it? Like, give me a little, like, I'm not against jumping on some false hope and ride the wave.
I wish I was going to offer you that.
Yeah. Great.
So if you don't know, a Ouija board is a flat board. It has the letters of the alphabet arrayed in two semicircles above.
Did your dog fart?
Probably. Ugh. The numbers 0 through 9. She's really old. She has an old butthole.
She does. Keep going. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't you. Keep going.
Oh, God. If my butt ever sinks like that, something's definitely wrong.
Didn't know if it was all the shrimp cup of noodles.
I don't partake in the shrimp cup. I mean, at least I shouldn't say that. I have not yet.
As of yet.
Yes. I mean, there may come a day when I am like loving my shrimp cup of noodles.
Yeah.
I'm grateful.
But one day I'll eat today. My giant thing of oatmeal oats.
I have one of those in the cupboard too. Yeah. It's just in the back hidden.
Yeah, it's like one day I might have to eat those oats.
We may have to eat our oats. Is that like eating your words?
A bit. We've done that a lot too.
So then there's the numbers 0 through 9, and then on either side is yes or no in the corners, and then goodbye at the bottom. So you could like close out your sesh and
like a knuckle tap.
Like done. Yeah, done. Mic drop.
Okay.
And then there's what's called a planchette in Ouija board lingo. And that is that device that everybody touches. It's usually shaped like a teardrop. Has like a see-through place in the middle so you could see what letter is being focused on or number. And so that was some education that I learned, some trivia that it was called planchette.
P-Dog asks, how about communicating with yourself in a past life? I don't know how that hit me first. You're kind of the first blow, but...
I think there's a circular rotation to the wind pattern in here.
She just looked at you so sad. Like, did you just say I stink?
So rank. Sorry, it smells like rotten peas. All right. So the idea is that two or more people would sit around the board. They'd place their fingertips on the planchette and ask a question. And then you'd watch mystified and
Ouija
amazed.
Happen.
As,
do you know where the term Ouija came from?
I'll get into that.
Okay.
It's Ouija, actually.
Ouija. A Ouija board?
Yeah.
So we're all just wrong.
Yeah, we're all just wrong. Damn. I mean, it doesn't really matter because it's a made-up word anyway. So you can call it whatever you want. So, yeah, it's like supposed to move around and someone keeps track of what it spells. Oh, we forgot to light our Robert Smith votive candle. We always need to invoke...
I got it.
The power of the cure on our podcast.
Especially now.
Especially in these times. These trying times. We need you, Robert Smith.
This is really about the match burning out your dog fart smell.
Oh, feel free to light a few more. I think we might need them. So you can get one on Walmart.com for $15. I looked it up. These ones are made from cardboard and the planchette is plastic.
Do you think the sales of Ouija boards are going to go up during quarantine?
I think so, because based on my research and actually from my own personal life experience and some of those people that I've worked with in counseling, I think in times of unknownness, we tend to seek out answers from things like tarot cards more, that kind of thing, psychics. When we don't have our own answers or direction, we're going to seek out that stuff more. Do you know I put my whole fate once into what song came up next on the radio?
Do tell.
I was deciding. I was moving from Portland. And I was deciding whether to move to California or back to Spokane. So back to California or back to Spokane, both places I'd lived. And I decided that the next song that played... would be my answer. And I can't stand the fact that I don't remember what song played, but the song that played told me to move back to California. And so that's what I did. I literally was in the car.
To be fair, there are so many more songs about California than Spokane. That's a little...
I don't think tilted. I was being that literal. I was looking for the deep meanings,
I
Macy.
I think that may have been your subconscious, you know.
My God, Lisa, stop trying to claw your way out.
She's opening the door. So
fucking pit bulls. They're so bullheaded.
Adorable. But
pit bulls are like the Tauruses of the dog world.
Yeah, I can see that. Bulldogs, too.
Yeah, I think the bull thing is like people and dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I mean, that was an unknown time. I totally put it outside of my hands. I had 100% external locus of control, psychology lingo, in that moment. But I really do wish I could remember what song directed me to move to California.
Was it a Journey song?
I don't know. I don't remember at all. Who knows? I mean, it was the early 90s. It could have been the Spin Doctors. Who knows? So Hasbro, oh my God, Lisa, settle down.
She's fine.
Hasbro currently owns the license for this board game, and it is considered a board game, which I think is very strange. Like, this potential portal to hell is a board game.
Sold by Hasbro.
Sold by Hasbro. Like, that is bizarro to me. So you can also get beautifully handcrafted ones made from wood. I looked up some that were on Etsy, and then this cool site called Pandora Witch Shop. Shout out. So those are all like carved wood, hand painted. They look substantial. So let's talk a little bit about the history of these. So spiritualism, or communication with the spirit world, became very popular in the US during the Civil War. So this was when a lot of people were losing family members, and the idea of being able to communicate with them was very comforting. So in 1891, this was originally patented as a game. So I couldn't find, and actually the premier researcher of Ouija boards could not find how they actually originated. So it has a mysterious origin. But sometime around the mid-1800s, history shows that people started using these, and that it rose in popularity during the Civil War, and then was patented as a game in 1891. And it was marketed as both a mysterious oracle and family entertainment.
Oh, I love that combination. It's my favorite. I love to
get evening
spiritual with my family.
You know, I mean, it might be something that passes the time during a quarantine. I don't know. Just throwing it out there. I know.
And they're still selling? Like, they're not sold out yet?
I haven't looked, but right, as of a couple days ago.
You're welcome, Hasbro.
They were still in stock. So the individuals that were seeking this patent had to prove that it worked before the patent officer would approve it. So
what?
So the patent officer said, like, you have to prove that this works or I'm not approving it. So they asked the board what the dude's name was, and the board spelled it out. And so he's like, sold. Here's your patent stamp. I mean, this is how I imagine it going down. There's a big, like, approved stamp.
I'm sure that's exactly how that goes down.
The first versions were made.
An approved stamp.
Approved.
Approved.
The first versions were made from recycled wood, made spookily from coffins.
What? So, like, some people out there may have, like, a rare, like, first-gen coffin Ouija board?
I would totally invest in a rare first-gen coffin Ouija board.
You have a coffin in your basement. We could make a Ouija board.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
That is such a good idea. Under quarantine, I'm going to get real crafty, you know, I think, to pass the time.
I don't think those things being airtight is really all that it's made up to be.
You could crack it.
You know, if you do a hole where your butt would be, then you just, decompensate faster. Then it's a mix between.
Do you mean decompose?
What did I say? Decompensate? Yeah. I'm drinking my wine rather fast, yes. It's been a hard Monday. This is a hard Monday.
No, this has been a Monday. Like, the definition of Monday is today.
It's the in and out constant meetings, and now.
Yeah, all day long meetings.
I'm decompensating people.
We are decompensating, decompressing, hopefully not decomposing.
Not yet.
Yeah. So these Ouija boards were good family fun. In an episode of I Love Lucy, Lucy and Ethel were even shown using one in the episode called The Seance.
Ooh.
And look at this photo.
I can't because
picture. Norman Rockwell did. This was on, like, one of those Saturday Evening Post
and on the website later
type covers. It's a couple hanging out and enjoying a Ouija board.
I feel like that's not like a fun thing for me to do. It's scary.
But these were different times. Like, this was considered fun, entertainment. Good old family fun.
It's like, what else are you supposed to do when you're stuck inside for 15 days?
6 weeks, possibly, in Spokane. So here's where
the Call of Duty server seemed really heavy today.
I'm sure. This is, like, really weird. I keep telling my kids, I'm like, you'll be able to tell your grandkids about the time
that you survived coronavirus.
You survived the great coronavirus of 2019, when there was a toilet paper shortage. And the only cup of noodles you could get was shrimp. It was hard times.
I walked uphill both ways.
Wait. I had to wash my butt outside in the rain.
They haven't had to do any of that yet.
No, not yet, but... What did I say? I've left like 7 rolls.
The boys have to wait. They can shower more. It's okay.
That's right.
They can rinse.
So here's where things sort of changed for Ouija boardness. In 1973, the Exorcist movie came out.
Oh my goodness. I have to tell you. Sorry, I'm interrupting you, but I'd never seen The Exorcist, and I was a child. Probably not. And my dad took me to see The Exorcist in a movie theater, and we sat in the front row, and I had my feet up off the ground. Like, it was the spider walk where she like goes backwards.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Awful. One of my traumatizing moments, that and the vampire thing.
It's one of the most scary movies still to this day. Like, you wouldn't think
that. There's the been Shining.
So many more scary movies, but people still say The Exorcist scared the shit out of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And so this is when people began to think Ouija boards were an instrument of evil. And that is because the girl in the movie, mm-hmm. Reagan, who was based on a real boy, was mm-hmm. possessed by spirits after playing with a Ouija board.
Oh, okay. So did they even go into that in the movie or no?
I don't remember.
I don't recall it.
But that's, I don't know, ask the room if they cover that in the movie.
Room?
I haven't watched that movie for a long time.
In The Exorcist,
do oh my god, they... it's like we're consulting a Ouija board.
No.
We're posing questions, just like
yes or what were the yes, no?
And I can't see the answers coming, so for me, this is like you could be contacting the spirit world right now.
You're currently contacting Paul and my dad.
Is that all the people that are?
My dad there? Doesn't remember. That's his answer.
Oh, disappointment reigns supreme. All right. So there are a lot of people, though, that believe Ouija boards can contact the spirit world. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, author of the Sherlock Holmes book, was a total believer in communication with the spirit world.
Interesting. And
some people who have really taken a deep dive into Sir Arthur Conan Doyle say that some of the investigative techniques Holmes uses were ahead of their time, and that he learned about them from those on the other side who had some future intel.
From the Ouija board.
Yeah. And also, so here's another famous person, Bill Wilson, who I didn't know the name.
But I don't know who that is.
But he's the founder of AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. Oh, he was super into paranormal things. And in his biography, it said that a Ouija board helped him develop the 12 steps of the program.
I was about to say, is that why it's like if, you know, you need to believe in something bigger than yourself, something, even if it's your toothbrush, like something your else higher power. Is there. Yeah.
So I guess maybe for him, his higher power was the Ouija board.
The Ouija.
The Ouija.
The Ouija.
The Ouija board. So I watched an episode of Paranormal Witness, which is one of these great shows that everything is like a reenactment while they're simultaneously interviewing the real people. You know, those kind of shows?
Yeah, where it's like a dramatization, they'll say at the bottom.
Right.
And it's like the actor.
I'm always, yeah, and then they are interviewing.
They're like shaking things.
Yes, there's a lot of, you know, quick editing cuts and I'm always trying to compare how well the actors they chose match the real people. Like, do they look the same?
Oh, yeah. No, where it's like, oh, that's what you look like? They made you look much prettier. Or a little bit like, oh, ooh.
Yeah. Ooh.
Vocal they bursts. Really danced you up. Danced you? No, dressed ooh. You up.
I like sorry. Danced you up.
Danced you up.
Oh. I hope in my biography someone dances me up since I can't dance normally. In my mind, I am like this amazing hip hop dancer, just BT Dubs.
Hip hop dancer? Yeah. I've never seen you hip hop.
No, I can't dance
anything
at all.
Do you even listen to hip hop?
Sometimes. But in my mind.
Sometimes. How often?
It's in my mix. It's in my list.
Your but list?
My, you know, playlist.
What? Name one song.
I know a lot of songs.
No, I just said name one.
Well, I like The Clan.
Wu-Tang.
So, yeah.
Wu-Tang.
That's just one popped in. I like the Salt and Pepper. So basically old shit okay, is what
okay,
I like
okay.
that you can dance to.
I don't know any of it. So you could have really named anything. I would have no idea. I'm but not a hip hop dancer.
In my mind, when I see those like video girls like popping it and stuff and dropping it, I'm like, I feel like
actually, I have
am doing
seen
that.
I have seen you at after parties from Derby.
Yeah.
And you can tell like you were in a zone and you were absolutely thinking you were doing something not
a few drinks
like
in.
Doing.
I am like one of those video girls. Like
you're
I
not.
Feel like in my mind my butt is bouncing.
But it's not.
No, I know
you
it's
you don't
not.
Really have a butt.
Well, I want a butt.
You've got a surface space. That does go up and down when your whole body goes up and down.
I know.
But you try and you have
fun. I try. Fun. I'm symbolically booty bouncing.
This is like our conversations when you talk about cleavage. I don't think you really understand.
What? My padded bra isn't helping me out right now?
You can wear one of the necklaces that goes down. Like if I wore that thing, it'd be like all sweaty and gross by the end of the day. Like there's no way.
Mine's swinging freely.
Yours is like mid-chest. If I wore a shirt that went down that far, I'd be deemed inappropriate and sent home. No way.
I like V-necks. It enhances
the neck.
The illusion of the cleavage.
I still don't see it.
I can tell, and it's fine. I can brush it in the Photoshop. I can enhance it digitally. All right. So... Where was I? Paranormal Witness.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
This show. So I watched one where it told the story of Lisa Dubrowski.
These poor people are dealing with their tangents.
And
it's been a hard day.
Her family in 2008, they were using a Ouija board on a regular basis. Mistake. They were contacting family members and going to the board 2 to 3 times a day, which sounds like an addiction to me.
That's a lot.
Yeah. It's escalating.
That's like really hopeful.
And they heard it could be contagious. They heard that you don't know who you're calling forward, but they didn't care because, you know, it'll never happen to us. After about a month, they asked if there was a new friendly spirit who would like to come forth and communicate with them. And the board said, no.
Leave me alone, frequent caller.
They said the room immediately felt different. When they asked what the spirit's name was, the board spelled out, Paul, are you ready for this? Because this has to do with you. The board spelled out V-O-X, which is the name of Paul's band. There's no connection, but I thought that was amusing. The planchette started moving rapidly all over the board, saying things about Lisa like she was a porn star. And then they told them they would never be rid of it.
The porn star?
The evil entity that oh. they had unknowingly invited into their home through the board. So they decided that was enough. And they put the board in the closet way up high and said they forgot about it.
Spirits don't forget.
But the board didn't forget about them. After about a year,
I totally ruined your statement.
It's okay. Lisa, it needed to be said twice in two different ways. Lisa heard footsteps when nobody else was home and had the sensation that if she turned her head quick enough that she would see somebody standing there. And I have also had that sensation. I used to babysit at a house out in the valley that felt like it was inhabited by a demon. And I had that same exact feeling when I would walk around that there was something dark right behind my shoulder. And that if I could just turn my head fast enough, I could see it. I never could. It was an overnight babysitting job and I never slept because I was so fucking freaked out. Mm. Yeah.
I've already told you about the ghost in the attic story.
Yes.
That one. But there was one other time where in that same house that there was one time where I was standing, like no one else was home and I was standing in the living room and I heard a man like say something, like I couldn't figure out what he said, but he said something to me, like I could tell that. Mm. And I turned and I started like looking around and I couldn't find this man. And I've never, ever outside of that house have ever experienced anything paranormal ever.
Was that the South Hill house?
That's the South Hill, the one that was built in 1809, and they had like picked it up and moved it. And
interesting.
With the cut-off attic where the kids' rooms were painted black, the windows were painted black, and they closed off the attic.
Creepy as and
the
fuck.
Kids' hair was in the envelopes upstairs. No, when we thank moved you. In. Yeah, it was pretty intense. Very intense. Big hole in the wall in the attic, like very creepy.
Thank God this house is clean.
Yeah, I've never felt anything here, and I've been in your house a lot.
No, this house is...
Yeah, nor do I think I'm like an expert at all.
I feel like I'm an expert in all things.
I'm like a normal judger of people who have these experiences. And in that house, there was just two occasions where like I was genuinely freaked out.
So things escalated. The family was being like attacked in their sleep. Things were moving by themselves. They woke up with scratches on their bodies. So they finally contacted their church. Someone was sent to help them. And guess what the guy did as part of his cleansing process? He said, what's up in that closet there? And I mean, this is not verbatim. And they're like,
it's not.
Oh, shit. We forgot about that Ouija board we put up there. And so he took the Ouija board out and drowned it in the kiddie pool, and then everything was fine. So
drowning spirits works.
What's the lesson here?
That's my takeaway.
I think the lesson here is if you have evil shit, don't put it away in the closet.
Okay, so I didn't do that.
Get it out of your house.
When I found the kid's hair, because it was like a dark hair and a blonde hair in a manila envelope, old manila envelopes with all the handwritten tax papers, all of that.
Ooh, that weird glue that's like orange and brown.
In a medicine cabinet that was all like warped mirrors upstairs in the attic that was closed off, sealed in black windows. Okay, so
antique mirrors in themselves freak me the fuck out.
Oh, it had the like speckled distortion in it, and so I love that room though. I went up there and I put my desk up there. I had my treadmill and I'd run up there. That was all happened before all the weird stuff happened, but I just put it away and I was like, I'm not gonna mess with you if you don't mess with me. I want to enjoy this cool
I don't think
attic.
You can bargain with demons, Macy.
A demon children, I feel like, you know, I think like the kids died, honestly, and then they sealed the attic, and then the kid, because there
like
was
they
one,
died up there.
I don't know if up there, but there was one side that was pink and one side that was blue. So I think God. It was a boys and a girls room, and they had
fucking
wallpaper.
Future topic of mine is unnecessary gender discrimination and differences.
You know, back then it could have been flip-flopped. I didn't specify it.
I actually have heard that pink used to be the boy color.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah, it was pretty intense. I scraped all the black paint off the windows so the sunlight could come in. Oh. No, I felt like I was doing it a favor.
Did it help?
No, it didn't. Okay. It got worse.
Cool.
Yeah.
So here's a few times Ouija boards and crime intersected. In 1994, insurance broker Stephen Young was convicted of murdering Harry and Nicola Fuller inside their English cottage Soon after the verdict, it was revealed that the jurors had consulted a Ouija board to convict him.
What?
So, no. Yes.
That's not okay.
Yeah.
This is the, like...
So they weren't really sure. And so they're like, hey, Harry and Nicola, did this dude kill you? You know.
What? That, if they're not for sure, it should be a no.
Also, they were having drinks while doing this in their hotel.
Getting a call from Elements Massage. I'm wondering if they're canceling my massage on Saturday.
Oh, probably. Sorry.
Probably.
Life is changing day by day as we know it. So, yeah. So that case had to be retried. And he was found guilty anyway. So.
Oh, because he did it.
Yeah, he did it.
He murdered them.
Okay. A 14-year-old boy was hospitalized for being stabbed in Texas in 2012. And his 15-year-old friend confessed that the Ouija board had told him to do it.
Sounds like something I'd say.
On Christmas Eve in 2014, Paul and Margaret Carroll were sent into a state of paranoia after using a Ouija board. They said they believed evil spirits had entered their home and were inhabiting their family dog, Molly.
Oh, Molly.
Paul quickly became convinced that an evil entity had possessed Molly and she needed to be put down. So Paul drowned Molly in the bathtub.
What?
No.
Maybe they were just like not psychologically healthy people that murdered their dog.
After he drowned Molly, he dismembered her.
What?
He tried getting rid of her body by stuffing her body parts down a drain. However, this didn't work out. He got arrested by the police. And while he was in jail, his wife and her daughter decided to use the Ouija board to communicate with Molly, the dog. According to them, the wife and daughter, the Ouija board told them that they were going to die. Hours later, their house was in flames and they were rushed to the hospital. But eventually, they admitted to starting the fire themselves during a black magic session. So playing with fire, you can get burned.
I feel like I've heard that before.
I didn't make it up. So I have one more weird case, and then I'll tell you why the Ouija board does its thing.
Cool.
So this is an old case, but it's very interesting. It was 1929 on the Cattaraugus Res near Buffalo, New York, when an intricate murder plot was concocted via a Ouija board.
I like it when you go into story mode.
I heard a lot of mysteries as a child. So, tribal healer Nancy and friend...
tribal healer Nancy.
Leela. Sorry. Used the board, hoping to learn who killed Nancy's husband. The board told them exactly who murdered her husband and gave the killer's address. Andy.
Convenient.
During the seance, the board spelled out the words, "They killed me," and the name Clotilda.
Wait, Clotilda?
It's an old-fashioned name.
Okay.
It looks like Clothilda, like, to spell it out. But I think it's Clotilda.
I didn't see it on any of our graveyard walks.
It's probably there. It's right up there with Persephone.
Ooh.
So, or that, what's that song? Oh, Madar. Oh, Clementine. Yeah. So.
That's from Eternal Sunshine as well as mine.
Leela was like, oh my God, I know a Clotilda who is married to someone named Henry. So Nancy was shaken up by the situation. And then things got worse. Multiple letters describing Clotilda as vengeful showed up in Nancy's mail. They explained that Clotilda placed a hex on her husband and that she killed him out of jealousy. Soon Nancy was convinced the strange woman was a murderer and that she was going to kill her next. So using the address conveniently provided by the Ouija board, Nancy showed up at Clotilda's door and battered her head in with a hammer.
What?
Yeah. Plot twist.
Wow. Bit extreme.
Then she stuffed chloroform.
Did she start with, what's your name?
I don't know. Maybe she just had the Ouija board there and was like, is this Clotilda? And the board was like, yes. And
was her name Clotilda?
Yeah, it was.
Really?
Okay. So then she stuffed chloroform-soaked paper down Clotilda's throat.
Man, she planned this out.
Witnesses told police a Native American was seen at Clotilda's place, and police were led to the res. So Nancy originally intended to kill Clotilda by using supernatural forces and powers. And by the way, this is like modern reporting, so I'm sure there was a lot of, racism and
prejudice,
discrimination attached to this report, but I'm just reporting. But I do want to put that out there because I don't know that Native Americans traditionally use hexes and supernatural forces in their work,
daily lives,
their healing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm sure there was a lot of assumptions.
Yeah, most don't back do then. What that lady did.
Right. So the report was that Nancy wanted to do that, but her spells didn't work. So as it turns out, Clotilda's husband, Henry, knew the other person, Leela, because they were having an affair.
Oh.
So
snap.
Leela manipulated Nancy to kill Clotilda by using the Ouija board in hopes of finally being able to get up with Henry.
So this was an affair that happened.
This was trying to get rid of the wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It worked, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you
the
get
hammer.
Battered in the head of the hammer, yeah, you usually cease to
live. Like, you know, a little dazed versus brains out is, you know, depends.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. So, I was going to say something.
I really hate that I'm going second.
Just I'm so almost you know. Done. Okay, so if it isn't spirits or demons, what is it? Here's the science. It's the ideomotor effect. Have you ever heard of that? Because I hadn't.
Me neither.
No, I hadn't. So the
sounds important, though.
It's very important.
We both have master's degree. Oh, and I have a PhD too.
Yeah, but I'll said it before. I'm gonna say it again. We can't know everything.
We can't.
It's just too vast. We know what we know.
That's what this podcast is for. Little education every day.
It's
every Monday.
Giving us tons of useless knowledge.
You're welcome. Enjoy.
Ideomotor effect is automated muscular movements that take place without the conscious will or volition of the individual. Mm. So basically, without our consciously wanting it to happen or being aware of it, we have these motor effects going on. So the effect is very convincing. Dr. Chris French, professor of psychology at University of London, explains. It can generate a very strong impression that the movement is being caused by some outside agency, but it's not. So this happens with Ouija boards, dowsing rods, you know, where you find the water.
Yeah.
Pendulums, you know how they like hang the thing and they're like, if it goes one way, you're having a boy. If it goes the other way, you're having a girl. So gender assignments, even before birth. So these are all devices whereby a very small muscular movement can cause quite a large effect. So if you are around that Ouija board and you have your fingers and someone starts moving it one direction, everybody kind of goes with it that direction.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it makes me think of kind of confirmation bias as well, to think of a psychological term we both know. Where
I love that term.
Where like if you feel like, so say for example, I'm like, yes, I want, you know, this guy totally murdered that person.
Right.
and I feel it shift that way, I'm going to flow with that easier than I will if I think that he didn't and it goes that way. I'm going to like, ooh, what's that? And I'm going to have less urge to flow.
Remember Magic 8 Balls?
Yeah, I used to have one of those.
They still exist.
Yeah.
You know, it was so cute.
It'd often say, not sure.
Undecided.
Oh, that's right. Undecided. Great all the time. Thanks. Story of
a really cute story about Asher when he was like really little. I had one. And
is
I would
he still across the room there and is gonna hate you for sharing. He probably can't hear me.
This is an old house. You can't hear that much through the walls. So when he was like really little, like 3, I would catch him in the corner sitting and having like conversations with the magic eight ball.
Oh, that's adorable, and you're a mean
it
mom.
It was so adorable. You'd be like talking to it, and like
if you were
it,
my dad like, oh. right now, I'd be so pissed at you for sharing that
so
with
cute.
People.
Oh, Asher was so cute.
So okay, so now you have to share one embarrassing thing about you as a child, because that's only fair.
What, like everything, every fucking day of my
name
life.
Name one specifically.
Okay, so going back to slumber parties, when in my hood. At the slumber party, if you were the first person to fall asleep, they permanent markered some shit all over your face. And that happened to me when I was like 8. Like horrible mustaches and eyebrows and probably a dick. I'm sure it was on there somewhere.
Well, since apparently I didn't have as many friends as you, I would set up.
No, they weren't my friends. Obvs.
Sorry, people that would be willing to be around you. I would be in my house with all my toy horses and my dolls, and I would have like I'd set up little jumps and I'd run through the jumps with them, and I'd jump the things throughout the house with them when my dad wasn't there.
Because you jumped horses?
Not then.
Oh, it was
I was a child.
It was pre jumping horses.
It was pre-horse.
Pre-horse.
Pre-horse. I was the horse, you were a horse. Really, in that sense.
Oh no. Do we want to say
I jumped
that?
It.
That's cute.
It was a long time ago.
That's not really that embarrassing. I've had way more embarrassing things.
That's very kind of
you. I was actually bullied for a little period of my life. That's why I turned into a bully. So I was like, fuck that. I'm not being on the bottom.
I was too a little bit. I wonder if that makes sense for us.
It probably does.
Tauruses. We come back for revenge later on.
No, I came back hard. I mean, I'm sorry about it now, but... at the time, it felt way better than being bullied. I'm like, the power.
That sounds really bad. You're right.
I was like Kate Blanchett when she like touched the ring in Lord of the Rings. And, like experienced that.
That surge moment.
Yes. Ah! And eventually I gave the ring
back.
Is
that what it's like when people have too much toilet paper that they know they're not going to use and they're in their person they care about? It's like, I can't wipe my butt. They're like, I guess I'll give it
exactly
to
you. Exactly. Like, they're surrounded in their toilet paper palace. Fuck y'all, by the
two
way.
2 years worth of toilet paper.
I hope the next thing that happens is like anti-toilet paper. Like having toilet paper is the worst.
Do you know what? Like, let's bidet it, people. Let's bidet. Let's splash our bottoms with some water up in here.
Oh my god, that's right? A great idea.
I think I fixed all the problems.
You just talk about stimulating the economy.
Right?
I'm going to look into a bidet tomorrow. How much does that cost to install?
Like $200. I can afford that right now.
I'm sure I can install a redneck bidet and just like
that's called a hose.
Weave the hose in from the backyard. With the, like the sprinkler thing at the end where you just psh, redneck bidet all day.
One of those soak hoses. Just keep it around all the time.
You know what? As long as I have food and wine, I'm good. I can live without wiping my ass.
You can tell what's bothering us the most right now.
I did have a moment of panic last night when I read that our governor had shut down all the bars for
bars and restaurants.
I was like, oh god, how no many boxes alcohol. Of wine do I need to get?
I have none. Like, I'm gonna just bare bones it.
You know what? I'm good now. I went to the store.
I'll just come to your house. I know that you.
Yeah, I'm gonna have secret. Wine gatherings. This is like prohibition days. Like, we need to make speakeasies a thing again. I wish I could make alcohol. We're back to our lack of apocalypse skills yet again.
What? Everything has led up to this
moment.
Everything
has led up
to
this moment.
Oh my gosh.
And yet my top skill is still fucking origami.
I can can. How has, I can can food.
How have I not improved?
But I don't have the food to can. I have to go to the store to buy pickling things.
I think, though, my apocalypse skill is going to be my panic and anxiety, because I beat everybody today to the boxed wine section, so I'm good.
Mm-hmm. Really hitting your priorities.
Yeah. All right.
Are you done yet?
Yeah. Just one other thing on this whole thing. Ideomotor effect. It's also called second intelligence. And this is really interesting. So research has shown that individuals answering questions using a Ouija board, they answer them correctly at a higher rate than when they're just asked. So there is research, what? Scientific research that shows we do have an unconscious second intelligence,
okay,
that knows more than we consciously that. Know.
I'm going to question that, because it's like that concept of, this makes me think back to when you take a test. And they say that your first guess was probably the more correct answer. Like, the odds are, if you would have put down what you guessed first, mm-hmm, which is intuition, right? It's that part of your brain accessing information that isn't readily available, mm-hmm, and pulling it through. Like, maybe it's that intuition that's guiding the hand that makes you more likely to say the right answer, that makes you more likely to answer right on the test. Mm-hmm.
So I thought you were arguing that was actually saying the same thing.
I know.
I just always went with C or all of the above.
I went with C, like math tests. And then they really get you to show your work. And then I'm like, Dad, help me.
And I remember when I was really being an asshole in high school, I would just make a picture on my Scantron.
See, I didn't do that. I really tried hard and still did bad.
I did. Math. I tried sometimes, and sometimes I was just like, fuck y'all. So I don't want to play the system.
I had a distinct moment in my childhood where, and I still remember this, sitting on the floor, probably eating soup of a kind.
Ramen?
Probably chicken noodle.
Ooh, Campbell's chicken noodle.
Something like that. I actually did like Top Ramen. It might have been Top Ramen.
High school, I loved me some Top Ramen.
Yeah. So I remember my dad working with me on math problems and like me crying because I couldn't figure it out. And like my adult brain now goes, you don't process that the same as other people, because I'll watch them do it and it's so fast and they like just, and they're like, it just makes sense. I'm like, no, it doesn't. I don't think my brain does numbers right. I really don't.
If I really focused and studied, I really can do high level math, but I kind of like opted out.
I went like algebra, trigonometry, like I did all the classes.
I decided to become a stoner instead.
You wasted, it was a choice, your abilities.
I did. I admit it.
I didn't have the abilities and struggled anyways.
And now I channel it into other things that doesn't require math.
Me too. We both ended up in the same place. So I'm glad you're here.
I'm glad you're here.
Thanks.
It's your turn.
Oh, good.
I can't wait to see what you brought.
Oh, and I'm anxious about it. Because, okay, so we drink wine during this podcast. And I've had my whole wine because today's been a day. So I apologize.
It's been a fucking day. For the books.
All right. Which, you know, sometimes makes it better. So I want to connect our experiences now with an experience from the past. Kind of like you did. So I'm a firm believer that we can learn from past mistakes and also past wins.
We can.
So swine flu, Y2K. Do you remember Y2K?
Thoughts, yes, in your mind? I actually panicked so fucking hard.
I was a teenager and I remember going to a Y2K party and being like, I'm a teenager and I'm worried I might die tomorrow. Like, the world's going to explode. I had no idea what was going to happen. I bought
like 20 cans of tomato sauce.
I wasn't even at the buying food stage. I'm at the whims of my parents' ideals at the moment, and I'm probably just going to disappear. And that didn't happen. But I'm going to go back even farther. So I'm going to go back to polio.
Oh.
I'm going to talk about polio, and I chose polio for a very specific reason. I chose this one because this was really the a big epidemic that happened that can mirror a lot of ways with what we're experiencing now, because a lot of the unknowns. This, what we're experiencing now, is a, you'll see, novel, just means new virus. We didn't know what this meant. And
COVID-19 means coronavirus disease 2019. I had to look that up.
I didn't know that either, I'm but like, that makes sense.
What is this fucking COVID-19 COVID cryptic shit? Just tell me what we're talking about here.
Like, do I sound more professional if I say COVID-19 instead of coronavirus?
I don't know. I said that there's a difference.
So really the first epidemic was actually in 1916 of polio in New York, and it was really, really bad. So there were several in the 30s as well, 40s and 50s, but the biggest impact was in 1955, was the biggest polio impact.
Mm-hmm. So it lasted for it was all a those long years.
Time, yeah.
Damn, this COVID shit better not last that long.
I
know, long.
People are like...
I need this wrapped up by summer.
They're like, weeks of my kids being out of school? What do you mean weeks? No, months, really. And that's everybody. When politicians tell you months, expect more. Expect more than months. And I think this is a good example of... I'm sure these people wished it was less too. But it was more. And
I have so many thoughts.
You can share thoughts whenever. Please do.
I feel like I'm just going to tuck these for a minute.
Chime them in whenever. So, so what was most striking about the polio compared to other infectious diseases is that it struck children way out of proportion to adults. So poorer children who didn't have access to clean running water actually weren't as susceptible. Because it was a gastrointestinal virus. So these kids probably, the poorer kids, probably had little amounts of polio being introduced into their systems over time. So they developed antibodies, where people who didn't have that exposure and had higher quality water did.
Wow, that's really unusual.
So it kind of goes back to the conversation of like, do you overwash and oversanitize and like not let your kids touch germs?
Oh my God. I love to let my kids lick.
You're going to say lick my kids.
Let my kids lick the floor.
And... Don't do that.
No, I mean, and that's why they don't get sick ever. I never used hand sanitizer with them and, you know, didn't freak out if they picked something off the floor.
Yeah, so it kind of leans, it does help show like, hey, in the past, we've been in a situation that was similar in the sense of why is this impacting kids? And now our quality of water is so much better. Our quality of hygiene is so much better than it used to be in the past.
For some,
I'm talking U.S. broadly. So
I'm talking U.S.
So those kids who didn't have exposure to polio were really just like had really bad impact from polio. If you were lucky and you had gotten polio, you'd end up in an iron lung. Have you ever heard about those iron lungs? Where it like helps keep your lungs going through a machine and like your head sticking out. You've probably seen
I think
a picture.
In the Big Lebowski, like yes. There's a dude yes. in the iron lung. Mm-hmm. I mean, not the dude. A not different dude.
A different guy,
not
perhaps.
The dude.
Yes. So those kids who were able to have immunity build up did better. What we're seeing with this one is a little different. So what you've seen is that kids aren't getting infected at as high as adults are, right. But they may be carrying it.
Yeah, I guess that's the big danger for those that are vulnerable is the people that don't have any symptoms and mm-hmm. are just like going around and infecting people. Because
even for adults, the symptoms are fairly mild, but it's for like if you have asthma, respiratory, and if you're an older population, like that level of immunity struggles with this specific one. There was the first in London had the first baby born. Who had coronavirus.
What? I didn't hear that.
Yeah, that the mom had it and gave birth.
It passes through like that?
She either sometime in the birthing process or before, I don't know.
That's
so
crazy.
Yeah, so that's the youngest was the infant newborn who had it. But if you think about it, that's like the level zero immunity, right? Like no immunity buildup.
Yeah.
Where kids have a lot of immunity. So really the threshold of immunity is pretty low for this. Like it doesn't take a lot to make this mild. But if you hit the threshold of low immunity, then that's where it hits you. And the biggest impact from what I read was that it's pneumonia. That pneumonia sets on quicker than the
and that will
flu.
Fucking kill me. I'm just saying that right here on the podcast.
You have blood problems too, don't you?
I do have blood problems, but like I've had pneumonia 7 times.
Oh God. Yeah. So that's one of the biggest problems. This is what most of the people are actually dying from, is pneumonia caused by the symptoms and not getting enough water in but the lungs basically like solidify.
That's why I just need to stay away from everybody.
Yes.
And go drink wine in the woods.
Yes. So other children who got polio who didn't end up in the iron lung.
Oh my God.
What is your phone doing?
I never have my phone on. That's why you never hear it. But I had to take a call earlier from my boss. And so I put my ringer on for the first time ever.
So basically, if you're a child who got polio, then you didn't end up in an iron lung. It ended up higher up in the brainstem, and those kids ended up dying. So once you had it, it was a really poor outcome for kids. Adults did get polio. It was just that they had some antibodies to fight it. So it wasn't as severe as it impacted kids.
Really were the most vulnerable.
Yeah.
And now really, elderly are the most vulnerable.
Because kids had developing immune systems. So to me, this means our elderly and amount of contamination has increased. The amount of people susceptible and the amount of social interactions have increased. Where that's now the population we're going to see the biggest hit, in my opinion. So,
which sucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I saw a video of, you know, because they're not allowing nursing home visits now, of family members like outside windows, like shouting at them to try to have some communication. Like, I'm worried about the elderly being depressed because they rely on these family visits to keep their spirits up. And now they're not allowed to visit.
I have to say, so I had somebody a client share with me that they had real concerns about being like left alone. Like, what if something happened to the people that care about me and then I'm alone and nobody cares to even check on me? And like, it was just like this actual like real desperation, sadness. And then I watched the video about Italy. And they're singing,
God,
on the balconies. Singing in the balconies. And that was like such a heartwarming, like, humanity hasn't died moment of like, hey, you know, we're here for each other and we don't have to, we have every realm of technology available to us to not.
Well, I'll tell you this. People. This neighborhood we live in is a very mixed population. Like, we have elderly, we have college students, we have whatever in between. And if it comes to like shelter in place, like I've lived in this neighborhood long enough where I know some of the apartments and houses where elderly are, and I'll fucking go there. I don't care. I'll be a tribute.
Help them.
Yeah. I'll check in. Like, do you fucking need some toilet paper? I don't got any, but I got some $5 wine.
One of the biggest things I've heard people talk about in that population is like, what if I lose connection with people? And like, that's so sad. Is that something that we
it
should?
It is.
Doesn't have to go away.
Yeah. And like, there's been so many psychological studies on the detriment of being in isolation. Mm-hmm. How it.
Especially for elderly populations. That's totally damaging. Absolutely shows that.
And also, there's research that texting doesn't fulfill that need. So,
yeah, there's a gap.
We have to make sure that we are connecting at least with phone calls and video at a minimum.
So back in 1920, Franklin D.
Oh my God, I drank all my wine.
Now
it's
what?
Been a rough Monday.
So Franklin D. Roosevelt was actually swimming at a Boy Scout camp a week before he got at Campobello in 1920. That's before he got polio, which he's probably one of the more famous cases of getting polio. So In that year, they had started closing theaters and summer camps because it started getting more and more severe. So I'm just going to jump ahead really quick to what is polio, in case you've just heard the word and don't really know too much about it.
Yeah, I want to know more because it's not a relative I knew, but it was an important relative in my family history that died of that at age 11, and I don't really know a lot about it, but it was...
I didn't know very much about it, honestly, either, other than
it's
like,
who my mother is named after. So I know it's very important in my family history.
So polio is an infectious disease caused by the polio virus. So in about 0.5% of cases, there's muscle weakness resulting in an inability to move. And this can occur for a few hours to a few days. Weakness tends to happen in your legs, but may less commonly involve like head, neck, and diaphragm. So many people fully recover. Not a big deal. However, in those who do get muscle weakness, about 2 to 5% of children and 15 to 30% of adults die. So another 25% of people have minor symptoms such as fever, sore throat, and up to 5% have headache, neck stiffness, and pains in the arms and legs. So there are minor level symptoms. And for, 70% of the people who were infected had no symptoms at all. Which also reminded me of coronavirus, just in the sense of like, there's a lot of people because of the incubation time who are infectious and have no idea because they're not showing symptoms.
Didn't one of the Roosevelt presidents have polio?
Yeah, I mentioned that earlier.
I forgot. Sorry.
When you weren't listening. It's okay. It's okay. I'm not going back.
This is how I know when I'm under stress, is that I'm not taking in as much information as I should be.
It's okay. Anyways, yes. Got it while swimming during that statement.
Okay.
So, or not while swimming, but went swimming, summer camp, boy camp thing. Yeah. So it's usually spread swimming. From person to person through infected fecal matter entering the mouth. It may also be spread by food or water containing human feces and less commonly from infected saliva. So this is really spread from feces-related bacteria. And the disease is diagnosed by finding the virus in either the feces of, I think only humans, yes, only humans had the polio virus found in it. So it is preventable with a polio vaccine. However, multiple doses are required for it to be effective. That's why when you're a kid and you had to get multiple shots, some of those multiples were polio.
Weren't they like a whole bunch in your shoulder and it would scar you? Or is that smallpox?
I feel like that's actually smallpox. But like the polio vaccine, like if you've never had polio, it actually works. It's an immunity that your gastrointestinal develops when you have that. And if you get polio, there is no actual treatment once you have it. And that's why getting your vaccines is so stinking important, people.
Don't look at me like that.
Sorry, I did look at you like that. Because in instances like polio, and again, I didn't know much about this. And the more I read about it.
I give my kids the essential vaccines.
Good.
I just there opt are people out that of don't. The optionals.
There are people that don't. And like polio, it actually is an immunity in your gastrointestinal system that will make it so you do not ever have to deal with polio when many people died from polio in the past.
I'm not a hardcore anti-vaxxer. I'm a softcore anti-vaxxer.
Softcore. Yes. So it can take infected people to spread the disease up to 6 weeks, even if there's no symptoms present. Pretty similar.
Oh my God.
Did you just text your child to bring you wine?
I did. And look at how good he did.
Good job. Wow.
Don't judge my family. We're a very loving, close
family.
I'm
not judging your family. I'm judging you. It's a difference. Your child does what he's told.
When he's not in the middle of a game.
Yes. So just to give an update on where we're at with polio, because like back in the day that like wiped out
eradicated.
A ton of people. It for the most part. So in 2018 there were 33 cases of what they call wild polio, where it just comes
wild
out of,
polio.
Where it comes out of nowhere.
Wait, what?
And 104 cases of vaccine derived polio. This is down from 350,000 cases in 1988. And in 2018, the wild disease was spread between people only in Afghanistan and Pakistan. And as of December 2019, there's only been 125 cases of polio and 240 cases of vaccine-derived polio. So polio has actually been around since like Egyptian era or before. So I'm going to show you a picture real quick. We'll post this on our site.
Yes, show me a picture.
So this is an actual painting and carving
where
the Egyptian man, he actually has a cane and a withered leg. And historians say that this is actually a depiction of polio.
That's amazing.
Back during the Egyptian era. So polio existed far beyond our current knowledge.
I'd like to know how that person was treated.
He probably died.
I mean, like, socially, though.
Well, he was painted in a picture.
Because I've
always...
With
his withered leg.
You know, the president that had polio because didn't he use a wheelchair?
Yes.
Like, I often wonder, in our times, would an individual that was using a wheelchair have a chance at being elected president? Because people are so fucking judgy.
Yeah, and like this man in this picture, he's actually holding like a goblet and he has a long staff, but he's clearly kind of like leaning into it and his leg is up, like his withered leg that's clearly like half the muscle mass of the other
leg.
Can
you stop saying withered?
I like withered.
It's making me think of, what was that, the scary movie where they're like, take the little hand. And she's like, no, I don't want to take the little hand.
Little hand is different than withered.
Well, it's a little withered hand that she didn't want to take.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You never saw a scary movie?
No.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Macy.
So they also had many depictions of paintings with children walking with canes at a young age. So even in like kids in Egyptian art would show that. So the first clinical depiction was provided by the English physician Michael Underwood in 1789, where he refers to polio as a, quote, a debility of the lower extremities. So that's 1789.
So, I mean, it doesn't affect people's mental capacities at all.
No, purely physical. And it was later called infantile paralysis because of its propensity to impact children.
But don't you think people are too judgy with that stuff, like today?
Physical disabilities?
Yeah, and yeah. Assume it means like
that there's something
mental deficiencies in some way, cognitive.
Which we can also take as a double slap of there's nothing wrong with that either.
Yeah. No, but if we're like trying to say somebody can do a job.
Oh, gotcha. That yeah,
just,
like capacity.
Yeah, capacity to do a job. I don't know. I think it's cool that we were able to have a president that used a wheelchair. I just really sadly don't think that that would happen in today's times. I think people are too fucking shallow and mean.
That's true. Yeah. So before the 20th century, polio infections were rarely seen in infants before 6 months of age. Most cases occurring in children 6 months to 4 years old. Poor sanitation of the time resulted in constant exposure to the virus, giving natural immunity. So in developed countries during the 19th and 20th century, that's where improvements to community sanitation actually made it worse. So it's
made
something
it worse?
Well, for the people that didn't have immunity.
Oh, okay.
So immunity was a good thing. Having
we need a little dirt in our lives.
Yeah, like there's bad things with poor sanitation, absolutely. Like I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that there are benefits to natural immunity. If you over-sanitize, you are going to create super bugs and you should stop it.
Fuck
stop
super
buying
bugs.
All sanitizer, buy some hand soap.
I don't own any hand sanitizer and I never have. I'm totally against it. I always have been.
I mean, I use it, but not frequently, just like now, half the time.
Now at times.
Now, half the time. So, the term polio comes from the term meaning gray, which refers to the gray matter of the spinal cord, which denotes inflammation that causes some of the paralysis. So that's where the term comes from. So it can also impact the brain stem, which results in inability to breathe, requiring things like the iron lung. So.
Okay.
So not everybody needed iron lung, but those who did.
So a lot of people were born with this.
That were passed down. Infants were infected, not born with.
Okay.
That's a good question, though. I actually don't know if it was passed down from.
Because I'm thinking if it actually affected your limb development, like it has to start pretty early, probably.
Well, and that's why it was like an infantile disease because it impacted you and you didn't have an immune system. Mm. So most were infants.
Fuck polio.
So Jonas Edward Salk was an American researcher.
I know Salk.
Yeah. So he
shout out Salk.
One of the first successful polio vaccines. And he really came about in 1952. So, you know, that's a couple of years after it started. But 58,000 cases were reported that year. 58,000 with 3,145 people dying. And 21,269 left with mild to disabling paralysis. Most of the victims' children. So the public reaction was obviously like, this is a plague. They were terrified. They didn't want to go out anywhere. They were frightened, which reminds me so much of people now. But I think it gives a little perspective. Like, this isn't, like, overly affecting our children.
But should we value children more than elderly? I don't know. I mean, I definitely don't think we should. But I'm almost wondering if that's why people are.
Maybe the fear response isn't as high as it would be. Yeah. No, because... I could see, like, if you flip these numbers and if the majority of these numbers we're experiencing now were impacting kids.
Yeah, I think the things would have be different. Shit the fan.
Is shit the fan.
They would have hit the fan sooner, which is sad because life is life. But I think, unfortunately, there's more value maybe placed on the youth.
Which goes back to, you know, biases against elderly folks as well.
See how all our podcasts are connected?
Yes, it does. So it related to, like, people being terrified when new visitors or, like, people returning back to their towns would come in. 'Cause they're like, what did you interact with? And you know, rightfully so, it spread pretty quickly. So apart from the atomic bomb, America's greatest fear was polio.
Fuck, really?
Mm-hmm. And as a result, scientists were really frantic in finding a way to cure it. And John Edward Salk was one of the first people to come up with something that didn't just work. Like, this didn't just temporarily ward off symptoms. This was an immunity that it gave people that to this day we are benefiting from. And he set up his first trial. And he said, quote, the most elaborate program of its kind in history, involving 20,000 physicians, public health officers, 64,000 school personnel, and 220,000 volunteers.
Wow.
Over 1.8 million school-aged children took part in the trial. When news of the vaccine's success was made public on April 12, 1955. So this is, you know, this started in 1952. So a few years later, Salk was hailed as a miracle worker, and the day almost became a national holiday. Around the world, an immediate rush to vaccinate began. Countries included Canada, Sweden, Denmark, Norway, West Germany, Netherlands, Switzerland, and Belgium planning to begin the polio immunization.
Oh my God, I'm predicting something right now.
Yeah?
Whoever creates the COVID-19 vaccine.
Kaiser is doing their first testing today on a volunteer.
But I predict they'll win a Nobel Prize, whoever wins.
Oh, that would make sense. Yeah. That. Yeah. Yeah. So Salk campaigned for mandatory vaccinations, claiming that public health should be a moral, quote, moral commitment. And this made me think.
Is that the first time that happened?
Yeah. Of this magnitude, yes. And it made me think about, like, health organizations that it's like, okay, do you close or do you, like, what do you do? And I think that's been a big struggle for a lot of our organizations right now.
Oh, that was a struggle the entire day today at work.
Yeah, me too.
Because we're in the helping profession.
Do we keep open to help mental health? Because that's, like, we advocate for that every day, that this is just as important as physical health. And then to have a physical health concern come up and say, well, this precedence, like, that's really hard to say, especially for people when panic is higher now than it ever has been recently.
Absolutely.
So
I think we just have to find safe ways to meet the mental health needs that as much as possible. Like, we can't abandon people that are super vulnerable right now.
Because again, with technology, there's no reason why we can't provide a medium in between.
Exactly.
And if you can't do all that you could before, then that's a sacrifice everybody's having to make right now.
Yeah, we got to find a happy middle.
So he actually had a sole focus, Salk did, of developing a safe and effective vaccine as fast as possible with no interest in personal profit. So this is something which he couldn't have done anyways, but something that he really was like, this wasn't for me, which made me think about, and I just want to call this out because I was kind of horrified when I saw that Trump tried to purchase a vaccination research rights from a Germany research company.
What, to own it?
For exclusive rights for the U.S. from a Germany research company.
But who would actually own it? Like, are we talking about Trump Co.?
We're talking about the United States government owns this research outcome vaccine.
So there'd be a profit attached to it.
I mean, it could be. Basically, it could also be used as the U.S. has this and nobody else.
I think at this point, we need to not think country by country.
This is a world issue. Be
humanitarian.
Yes.
Like, we've been wanting something that would unify everybody. And maybe, like, that's the silver lining to this whole thing. Mm-hmm. This is our bridge. This is something we can all get behind. And I think we, like, politicians need to fucking focus on that and capitalize on that.
Get behind it.
Turn it into this partisan bullshit, and let's just be humans together.
This is everyone's chance to show that their words actually mean something. If you care about people, then show it.
Yeah, like, quit turning it into a party line thing. Let's just be people together all around the world.
Yes.
So red and blue making purple.
FYI, Germany denied that response from Trump and said that nobody can claim an exclusive right to a vaccine.
I wish I knew some German to say right now.
A Wiedersehen.
No scheiß.
It's very bad of us. Okay, so I just wanted to close my topic with saying what we can learn from
our
predecessors is that these contagion crises happened a long time ago with far less tools. We had far less knowledge, far less access to technology, and we survived. And we did well. And we came together as a community. And we became better after. So we can't assume that this is the downfall. And that's what I hear from people is, you know, this is the crumbling of society. Well, we're better than we've ever been.
I think in times of crisis and stress is when we see like the best of humanity. And I think we need to focus on that.
Absolutely. And I mean, closing schools makes sense. We're trying to reduce. Share your fucking
toilet paper, people.
Share your toilet paper with Naomi. That
should have been my until next time.
You're early. Let's see.
I shot my wad early.
Oh. All right. Well, go ahead.
Well, now I need to say something else.
No, go.
Until next time, blame it on your Ouija board.
And eat your oats. Bye.